Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. It is back. If you've missed any episodes, head on over to Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, JoeBucksFan.com, the iHeartRadio app. You can catch up. And it's the holiday weekend, Ira. So you know what? The folks who've listened earlier, they're coming in here. They know we don't have a ton of juice about all sorts of Bucks happenings. So we've got some stuff to touch on. And I've got some other questions for you, one from a fan. And one from the world of baseball, which is relevant. You'll understand when I get to
it. Let me start out on a depressing note over here, because we're sitting here in a restaurant. They got the TVs up. I look at the TV, Lee. First thing I see, Shohei Ohtani just hit his 30th home run. Every freaking day this guy hits a home run. I'm tired of it. I'm a Giants fan. How many years do I got to look up at the Dodgers? They get every freaking guy they want, every Japanese player they want. Ends up with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I don't want to hear about taxes and the Rays got a big advantage because Florida's got no... You see anybody flocking to the Rays instead of the Dodgers? Are the taxes keeping people from being a Dodger?
Are you using the narrative people from the Northeast are against the Lightning? That the reason why Florida hockey is so good is because of taxes?
That's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, it is, because where's Tennessee? Nashville.
Nobody was saying anything when the Lightning stunk, which they did for a long time. So I'm over Shohei Ohtani. Get out of town.
All right, Sage, you went off the
rails. I like that segue.
You went off the rails early, Ira. But hey, look, on the rails always. Bill Curry Ford. They present all of Ira's work. Bill Curry Ford. That's the family name. Curry. Curry family since 1960 has been running Bill Curry Ford, taking care of the Tampa community with all of their charitable efforts, but also Bucks fans. And get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. The dealership is designed for people to come on out and have lunch, shop, relax.
Service.
Quality service from a family-owned shop. Biggest service department for actual repair in Florida. 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service at your home. And I mentioned this previously. They've got those mobile vans that work at your home. They're all over. I see them all over.
That's unbelievable.
And it's got to be growing because it's such a great service. They'll do a recall at your house, whatever it needs. And if they can't operate at your home, they'll bring the vehicle back to the shop.
You're sitting in you're sitting watching a Beverly Hillbillies. I can't even say it.
Beverly.
You're mixing up with the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, exactly. Beverly Pillsbury.
You're watching a Beverly Hills.
Not Hills, bro.
I can't do it.
Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills.
I can't do it.
He wants a
biscuit.
Steve, you're at your house and you're watching a Gomer Pyle rerun. And people are out. People are out in the driveway working on your car while you're going about your business having lunch.
All right, we know you got a biscuit on your mind, Ira.
It's unbelievable.
But you can get lunch at Bill Curry Ford. But bottom line, they will treat you right. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he encourages you to reach out to him directly. You can find him at the website or at the dealership. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. Don't worry, Drive Curry says it all.
While Steve was reading that ad, I don't know if you noticed it, Steve, but one of the hollering shows on FS1, I guess they're doing a Ohtani episode.
Yes.
The things you don't see while you're hearing this podcast, Ira points at the TV, grimaces, and shakes his head. He's on fire today.
I am so over that guy. Oh,
he's going to be around.
And now he's pitching. Steve, they got him on the mound now.
He's back pitching, yeah. He's going to be around a long time, Ira.
I got Justin Verlander throwing for the guy's like 42 years old. They got Ohtani.
All right, Ira, look.
This is a Buck podcast, Steve. What do we got?
We got plenty to hit on. But, Sage, look, training camp opens July 23rd, Wednesday. We're getting close. We're going to see more and more pressure ratcheting up on and excitement ratcheting up on the Bucks. And
we might have a special podcast coming up in 2 or 3 weeks.
That's the plan. A special guest. It's confirmed, but we know these things can change. But fans will enjoy
tentatively.
That. Right before training camp hits. So, and we expect to have some serious news coming out of that podcast as well. But let me bring this up. We don't have to go long. We've talked about it a while. But the bottom line is the Bucks are charging $10.75 for training camp. Now, I've looked at all the other teams across the league. For three open-to-the-public dates, and most of them are free. I happen to look up 2015. The Bucks had 11 open training camp dates at One Buck Palace, all free. Didn't even need a ticket. Just come on in. We'll make it work. And they didn't have an indoor facility then either. I don't like it. I know you feel...
And that's when nobody wanted to come. Now people do want to come. Well, now they're relevant.
I take that back, though. You got to take that back. The Bucks didn't know that. Jameis Winston,
well, was Jameis Winston's
he was just drafted. Yeah. Just drafted. A lot of fans. A lot of hype. Crazy hype. Brand new head, not brand new head coach, but in comes Jameis. You would think, you know, they were just like, come on, come all. That was the year they actually ended the night practice, and things have changed. I don't like it. Last word, Ira.
I don't want to harp on it, Lee, but I think they're going in a poor direction. I wish they would change their minds about this. I like the fact that they added one more open practice for the general public. But three is a weak number. It's still weak.
Yeah,
it's better
weak
than one. It's better than two. But it's weak.
Yeah. Compared to the rest of the NFL.
That's
yes.
Right. And so I hope the powers that be that sign the checks look around the league and see what's going on with their peers. And the fact that they're charging anything at all, it doesn't sit well with me.
I'm appalled at you two guys.
Appalled?
Appalled.
Strong word.
Are you trying to tell me that Bucks fans didn't want to come out in 2016 to watch Roberto Aguayo? I'm annoyed by that.
And one of the worst draft classes in Buck history, yeah, by the way. No question about it. Steve, do you need the money? Do you really need the $11?
I guess we'll get after him next year, pester him again.
Here's a caveat to that I don't know the answer to.
Grow your base. Grow your base.
If we press it, we might get an unsolicited answer.
Well, you might get banned from $1
also. I might get banned from $1. Once upon a time, the Redskins, under the great Daniel Snyder, I hope people can see the sarcasm. Notice the sarcasm. We're charging for people to get into watch training camp. And at the time, the NFL had a rule. If a team did that, they had to allow other team scouts to watch practice. That was the catch to prevent teams from charging to watch training camp. If you did that, it had to be open to all scouts.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know if that's still, it probably isn't, but that used to be on the books. So
that quickly ended their policy of probably charging for practice.
Very quickly. And I think it lasted 2 weeks before training camp started. It lasted 2 weeks.
It's a bad look, Steve. It's a bad look. And we're going to stay on this.
I don't get it. And you know what? Those open training camp practices are not sold out yet as of us talking here. And what does that say? I think there are a few thousand fans that would love to come out. But
grow your next generation of season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Another question. How many of these practices are padded practices?
Well, they could always change. I think one out of the three are
one
padded.
One of the three.
But you know, one of the three. They could always tweak that. Whatever. We don't like it, and we're going to keep pushing it. It's not cool. Ira, NFL top 100 players.
They've just started the list, right, Stevie?
Yeah, they changed the way they're doing it this year, which is fine. Levante David checked in at 96 after being 99 last year.
What's their new protocol? How are they doing it?
They're just dripping them out on a few different social media pages. And
but it's still votes from players, right?
On NFL Plus, yes, still votes from players.
Exactly. Allegedly.
Levante, 96?
Yeah, 99 last year, 96 this year. Quick thought?
Seems a little low.
Which is par for the course.
Yeah.
He's Rodney Dangerfield. He gets no respect.
Except I'd like to see him in the 60s, maybe 70s.
Was he worthy of 60 last year? For Levante to have a slightly
I thought he was better in 23. I thought he was better in 23 than 24.
Yeah, and I got to qualify. I'm not knocking Levante, but for Levante to have a quote-unquote off year, that's a hell of a lot better than most people.
Yeah. I'm glad he's listed in the top 100. And I expect the Bucks to have some nice representation in that top 100. I really do.
Oh, they should have at least four.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm curious to see where the players put Baker Mayfield. Yeah, he is a very popular guy.
Is Mayfield going to be in the top 100?
He should. I always had the word allegedly with that because the voting's really sketchy, isn't it, Steve? Like they have a set amount of, when I say set amount of players, like what, half dozen per team? And they just vote for top 10.
The last time the NFL reported this, they said it was 700 players voting across the league. Now that's only 20 and change per team. And does everybody fill out the ballot completely? I don't know, but I believe the voting. I don't think it's fixed.
But obviously it's a fraction of the players.
Yeah.
And they're only picking 10 players. They're up 10 or 20.
Who should be the highest rated Buck league?
I think Tristan Wirfs.
I think it should be Wirfs.
You can make an argument about Mike Evans, but Wirfs probably should be. If you're not weighting skill position players, which I know they do, subliminally they do. If it's just flat out the best player on the roster, should be Wirfs.
Wirfs followed by Jamel Dean, right, Dusty? That's the way I got it.
I think I'd have to go Irving, number two. Irving, number two.
Evans, three.
Yeah, I have to go Evans, three. I'll stop at three.
Winfield used to be on it.
He shouldn't be this year.
Yeah, shouldn't be.
Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but he has had an awful year.
More to prove. Ira, what do you think of this? And is this a red flag for you? This is really the question I have with your wisdom and all that. You know, rookies can be a little weird, a little immature. We've heard stories about Ronald Jones when he showed up at 20 years old and being very immature and other rookies over the years. Okay. So I'm sitting there, you know, looking for stuff, and I turn on this fashion podcast with...
You might as well stop right there, Steve.
With Bo Nix, his brother Caleb, who used to play...
I'm worried about you, Isbits.
He used
I'm
to worried. Play for Clemson. Now he transferred to some school in Georgia. No, small school in Alabama. And his...
Was a Kardashian on this show?
No, unfortunately.
All right.
And you also had their dad, who's a legendary high school coach in Alabama, or at least renowned high school coach, and Tez Johnson, who was adopted by the family. And they're talking about life and fashion and, you know, football a little bit. Bo Nix is clearly the dominant personality, which I thought was interesting, because Tez Johnson is a big personality. Fans have gotten to like his interviews and all kinds of stuff, but... When he was in that little family dynamic, Bo Nix sort of shined as the quarterback. But anyway, they start talking about looking good and make it making you feel good playing. And
look good, play good.
They start talking about uniforms. And Tez Johnson says, he basically says, I can't play with a bad number. And I'm and he basically says, I'm so skinny that if I get like 82 or something in the 80s, I'm going to look bad because I'm this 150-pound guy. So
instead of saying he's going to catch 82 passes, yeah, I understand.
So he clearly, based on what he explained, he clearly wanted a single-digit number or something in the, you know, the ones, you know, 12, 10, 17, or whatever. So I look at the Bucks roster, and there's nothing available from 0 to 9, and there was nothing available when he was drafted from 10 to 19, except number 12. So
that's Brady's number.
I wrote a little story. Well, they've never retired Brady's number. So do you think the Bucks told Tez Johnson, no, you can't have number 12? And do you think if the guy's admitting now that he hates, he specifically said any number in the 80s would be the worst thing for his psyche, he's wearing number 83.
Vincent Jackson.
And three isn't even a wide number, isn't even a narrow number. So is this something that makes you think, maybe this guy mentally isn't
get over
sharp.
It. No, I'm not overly concerned. How old is this guy? 20? I mean,
22.
You know, when I was 22, Lee, I was putting baseball cards in the spokes of my my little Schwinn bike on the streets of the mean streets of Brooklyn. Speaking of mean streets, that's a story that we're going to talk about a little later. But so he's acting his age, Lee. Nothing to worry about. Give him 83 and tell him to get out there and learn the playbook. Come on.
Even when I was 20 years old, I wasn't that much of a weirdo. I had respect for sports history. So if he did, we don't know that for sure. If he did ask for 12, I've got two words. Step back.
Is it possible he didn't know that Brady wore 12?
He can't. No one's that oblivious. Worry about making the team. The guy, Abdul Carter, drafted by the Giants.
I want Lawrence Taylor's
number. And Lawrence Taylor said, make your own legacy. Good for him. Good for Lawrence Taylor. That's how great Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players who ever played, a ultimate hero for the Giants. You want that guy's number? Slow down. Step back. That's way out of line.
Slow your roll, Steve.
Slow your roll.
Well, what's with the Bucks and the retiring numbers? Like they don't go out of their way to do that. I think they've done it a couple of times, but
I don't want to see anybody wearing 55.
Well, listen to this. Benjamin Morrison, when he was drafted, Rondé Barber was on his show where he likes to bloviate and say things. Rondé was on his FLA show saying he's not getting number 20. I don't want to see him out there wearing number 20.
Yep.
And that's non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. But I don't think Barber says that if the team had formally retired his number. Like, I don't recall that ever happening. So I don't know. They've never handed Allstott's number or other numbers
exactly.
Like that out.
They have like a silent retirement. Well, it's not technically retired, but they won't give it out. Allstott's a perfect example. They won't give out 40, but it's technically not. If I remember correctly, the only numbers that are retired, this is on Pro Football Reference, the only numbers that are retired are Selman, Sapp, and Derrick Brooks, I think. And the rest of them, like 40 and 12, it's like a silent retirement.
They better not mess with 40. Don't mess with 40.
No, they won't give that out. And I don't blame them.
To me, he's always going to be the most popular Buck, Lee. He's always going to be the most popular.
Probably, yeah.
I think he is.
I can't think of it outside of maybe Brady. I can't think of anyone more popular than Allstott. You still see Allstott jerseys at the game. He hasn't taken a snap in how long?
I think Evans will stand
his playing style fits this town to a T.
Perfectly. This used to be a defensive you know, slobber knocker town, old school football. You run to win, and that was all stop. Physical, you're
just
right.
Just the way that you like that formula, run to win. Lee.
Well,
that,
depends
that's your
if she's a brunette or a blonde.
I think Evans will overtake him in that area,
who
but
will?
We'll
who
see.
Will?
Evans.
Oh, Evans?
Evans, absolutely.
Maybe.
Just for the record, Simeon Rice, who the Bucks are celebrating this year, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame. They claim he's a Hall of Famer.
He Brian, wore 97.
Brian Glazer pounding his fist. You know, Hall of Fame numbers. Adam Gotsis, defensive lineman out of Georgia Tech.
97
is in his Buccaneer uniform. So, yeah, just something to think about.
I wouldn't mind some official retirement ceremonies for uniforms.
Well, I think they have. I know Selman, they did. And that was when they, you know, put his name in the Ring of Honor. Maybe before that. But like I said, I want to see his three numbers. Selman, Sapp, and Brooks, which is a pretty good start. I guess Evans maybe someday. Brady maybe someday.
We'll look
someday.
It up. We'll
think,
look it up.
I think you could add Barbara. If you make the Hall of Fame, I think that goes a long way to getting your number.
You know, the St. Louis Cardinals do that. They don't retire any numbers unless you're in the Hall of Fame. Then your number's retired. But that's the criteria. No Hall of Fame, no retired number.
Stan the man.
Among others, yeah.
Among others. What number did he wear, Lee?
Six.
It's my favorite number. Six.
Is it really? You're just
IQ.
Joking. Six?
Oh, no. Six
it is,
times.
It is my favorite
six
number.
Times 100?
All right, Sage. So I got a couple
Dr.
of.
Dr. J, right?
I got a couple
Dr.
of things. A couple
Dr.
of things
J.
to throw past you. But Florida's Elite Restoration is there for everybody right now. 24/7. Whenever you get that water damage, and Ira is the water damage whisperer, you call them. You have to call them 24/7 immediately. They'll give you that evaluation free. Experts coming with technology, storm damage, of course, flood, mold. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. You need a disaster plan. You can't just say the storm's coming. What am I going to do? Let me look at my insurance policy that reads 97 pages. You know, you want to know who to call, who's going to be able to help you. And if you call them first and you end up needing their restoration services, they'll give you a $500 discount.
And put your head in the sand and say, hey, we're on the west coast of Florida. No hurricanes are going to hit here. Not that doesn't hold any water, so to speak, anymore.
And they're there for you again, 24/7 year-round, because unfortunately these disasters happen. They're also a great family-owned company. Josh Martin, owner, great Bucks fan, always eager to help. And we have sent a lot of people his way, people he doesn't even know that have gone his way. And you know what? They all come away impressed with the attention to detail and the caring service. 5-star Google reviews, floridaselite restoration.com. All right, Iris. So this one's kind of a fun media question for you. SI.com, they've got Albert Breer as their chief guy, big time national columnist and has all the access and all that. And their secondary national guy is Connor Orr, who Jason Light.
Lee's favorite. Yeah.
He's all right guy.
Jason Light famously called him out in person at the combine. The video went viral, and it was sort of a fun video because Orr had predicted that the 2023 Buccaneers would win two games.
This is post-Brady. Post-Brady.
Yeah. And then in February of 24, after the Bucs won nine games, the division, and a playoff game, Light confronts Orr at the combine.
Kind of an ambush, wasn't it?
Yeah, he ambushed him.
Did you see it?
Well, it looks from the video, and I'm not saying how tall or short Connor Orr really is. But from the video, it looks like, at least the angle, Light looks like about 6'3", and Orr looks about 5'3". And Light's, you know, talking to him, and he tells Orr that, hey, I've...
So the receipts that Light keeps, it's
yeah,
a receipt.
I got your prediction up on my wall in the office.
Yeah.
And Orr's face was, like, stunned, and then he was like, oh, my boss will like hearing that. And then he was kind of, like, caught off guard. Fun stuff from
Fun
Light.
Stuff.
And
yeah.
Light's done that kind of stuff before. So, you know, we, of course, wrote about that.
Don't we know?
Yeah, don't we
yeah.
know? Yeah.
We've written about stuff like that. Well, we wrote about this and written up some of Orr's predictions. Well, he goes on his podcast with Albert Breer, and he basically has a Joe Bucks fan meltdown.
Unbelievable.
He was half laughing, half tipped.
For like 90 seconds, he's going back and forth talking about the Bucks are really good. I think they could be in the championship game, play well. And that's the headline I want to see at Joe Bucks fan. These guys write this about me. These guys write that about me. And
put this on your damn website.
Put it on the website.
All you guys do is say what Connor Orr writes.
He wasn't mad. He was lighthearted
about
it. And then Albert Breer, to his credit, jumped in saying, it sounds like you want to be sort of have a new trial at JoeBucksFan.com and have them relitigate the way they've been treating you and your salvage your relationship with fans in Tampa. And they went back and forth So my question to
and
you
Brewer's
is...
Brewer's laughing, too.
Brewer's laughing, and but Orr was dead serious because he even mentioned that he has Google alerts, which means that, you know, and I ran into this once with Erin Andrews. You know, we wrote something about her. So it dinged her Google alert, and she responded. It's like, you didn't read the article. You just saw the Google alert. You might want to just take a deep breath, you know. Anyway, these national guys, when we're writing about them, they know. And do you think that a publication like ours can really get in the heads of these guys and start affecting their predictions, their way that they report things or put stuff out there if they know that, you know what, I'm on the fence with the Bucks being as good as the Packers, but if I put the Packers better, I'm going to get clobbered by these blogs, and then it's going to really piss me off.
Well, Lee, I think one of the things that the three of us take pride in, among many others, is we don't take ourselves that seriously. We don't.
I don't, unless it's about sacks.
So with Connor Orr, Lee, if you make an outlandish pick, like they're going 2-15.
He should know that he's going to get
flack. You know, yeah, you're going to get flack. you know, now if they went 4-13, nobody would have said boo.
Yeah.
You know. But the fact is, they win the division and win nine games and a playoff game. So to Lee's point, I could see him worried about pissing off Light because that's access.
Yes, yes.
You know, and Light doesn't forget. But as popular as we are, Lee, and we are the number one go-to source for all news and opinions about the Bucks, and we have the numbers to back that up, Lee. It's not just us talking about it.
Thank you for the advertising.
I still don't think that we should be in Connor Orr's head, Lee, but I think it's kind of fun.
I've met him once or twice at the
combine. I don't mind living in Connor Roar's head once in a while.
He seems like a good guy, Connor Roar. I you know, like I said, I've met him briefly once or twice, maybe a little bit longer.
And I'm sure Light approached him in a lighthearted manner, Lee. He wasn't serious.
Kinda. You could tell Light was still simmering about that. And I do know at the time that when Orr made that prediction, Light was furious. Like, what the? You know, I'll delete the X.
You know, Light has proven to be very accessible in like the last 6 months or a year. So, Steve, to your point, on a serious note, you don't want to lose access to a guy like Light.
Well, with
who makes himself available, and he's a good talker. He'll give you a good quote.
Mm-hmm.
And from a media perspective, outside, not talking about us because we piss him off all the time. But from an outside perspective, probably not a guy you want to get mad because you want to keep the lines of communication open.
Oh, exactly. And to finish my point about, you know, Connor Orr, like I said, I don't think he's a bad guy. You know, he kind of said something about, you guys think I'm a crazy asshole. I never thought he was an asshole. Yeah. He might be crazy, but he's not an asshole. But real quick about Connor, the suggestion was that we hammer him all the time. Well, that's not the case. You know, just out of curiosity, I did an archive search on our website on Connor Orr. And I think the first thing that came up was Connor Orr predicts the Bucks to win the division. That was last year. So yeah, it's not like we don't hammer him.
Do people think I'm outlandish for picking the Bucks to go 11-6 this year? Maybe.
We'll see. I don't think so. I think most fans, when we run that poll after training camp,
I think 11 is going to be a tasty number.
I think 12 is going to be where fans are going to land. I really do.
Mm.
Fun stuff. Yeah, we would hammer Connor Orr more, but he's not a big enough name for us to be slapping around.
Can I tell my movie stories?
You will in a second. That was also the same year Peter King also picked the Bucks to win two games and be the second pick in the NFL draft. And Peter King got angry, was like, you know, freaking out on, now I'm hearing from Bucks fans, you know, not everybody can win. You gotta pick a loser and a winner, and you know, it's got to add up to a league-wide record of 500.
Right.
And
that's right.
He got all defensive.
That's why they're called predictions. And, of course, nobody expected Mayfield to turn around his career like that.
No one. Now, this sounds like I'm pandering here for us. A lot of fans, they think we're soothsayers. Or soothsayers. Soothsayers.
Soothsayers.
Yeah, you know, it's like we're Karnak the Magnificent. If we... we're 100% with our predictions. We'd be living at 4-bedroom condos on the top of Aria.
There you go.
We wouldn't be slubbing like we're doing now.
Now, we all picked the Bucks to win 8, 9, or 10 games last year, I think. We weren't far off last year. I think I had them at 9.
I had them at 10. Lee had them with a path to pick 9. He said, but I see a path to 10.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
No, we would not. If we got everything right, no, we would not be at a penthouse, 4-bedroom penthouse on top of Aria. We'd be banned from the freaking place.
You're not coming to our town. That's right.
If you're too good, gamble, Vegas will ban you.
So, Ira, before we get to your story of you accosting an elderly man in Tampa over the weekend, a poor elderly man.
Who never saw it coming. Oh, my God.
And also had a good slap in your face, verbally anyway, for that. I got to ask you this. You know, the Rays have been excellent this year. They have not, unless I missed something, they have not had a home game that was lost by rain, which
that's right.
And the Athletic wrote about that, and that was about a week ago, but they haven't had a rain out as we record this. Bottom line, you got a lot of movement nationally and otherwise, and I think this applies to Bucks fans in some ways. There's a movement that's saying, the Rays can't play a long postseason series at Steinbrenner Field because it's not great for TV and revenue from playoff games. They're talking about moving the Rays, and they're very likely to make the postseason, and relocating their home games to Miami, somewhere else, wherever, which I think is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Why would you screw the season ticket holders like that?
If it's World Series, I know why, and there's been an article written why, and it makes sense, unfortunately.
Well, Lee can enlighten us. I don't know why it makes sense other than money. To screw fans like that, I think it's time for the mayor of Tampa to get ahead of this. I think it's time for the Glazers to step up and say, no, this isn't right for fans of Tampa. A lot of those Rays fans are Bucks fans. We're not pulling the games from the home team. We wouldn't want that to happen to us. Love to see the Lightning do that. What do you think about this?
What is it, about the gate receipts?
Well, specifically, the story I read is Front Office Sports. It was about the World Series. It wasn't about playoffs. The World Series is not unlike the Super Bowl. It's a corporate event. A lot of the World Series tickets are tied into corporate sponsors. MasterCard, you sponsor us, we'll give you like 2,000 tickets to a World Series. You know, stuff like that. Well, if they just gave it to the corporate sponsors at Steinbrenner Field, there'd be no room for fans. So that's why they're talking about moving the World Series. Does it suck for Rays fans? Hell yeah, it sucks. But welcome to the 21st century. Now, this story did not delve into the playoffs, just the World Series. So that would really suck for Rays fans if they moved the playoffs to Miami or Atlanta. For example, when they were threatening to do that to the Cubs because Cubs didn't have lights, I hate the Cubs. I hope if Iran attacks us, it's Wrigley Field they target. But I was PO'd about for Cubs fans. That's just wrong. But this is the world we live in.
You know, and speaking of the Rays, Steve, and we have to mention this. I know they lost the last couple of games, but they're having an excellent season. They're hanging with the Yankees. The Yankees in the AL East. Yankees are maybe they're underachieving a little bit.
Oh, the Orioles. Yankees fans say more than that.
The Orioles have fallen off the cliff, and the Rays haven't.
Until they played the Rays. Orioles. Didn't Orioles sweep them?
So they score a lot of runs, the Rays. They score a lot of runs. Cash is squeezed. And I don't want to hear Cash is a figurehead and takes all his barking orders from up above.
It sure smells like it.
I don't think it's fair to Cash.
The same reason Bucks fans keep bringing up Cooper Kupp about Bulls, I bring up about Kevin Cash in this Game 6 of the World Series. That's my Cooper Kupp moment for Cash.
I hear you.
Wouldn't be for a wild card, but it would be for the other series if the Rays got there. I just think it's atrocious. Somebody's got to get ahead of it. And I've heard people on the radio.
Where's Mayor Castor? Even locally,
media types saying they understand it. It can't happen. You just can't. They got to find a way. Find a way.
You don't pull the plug in October. You just don't do that.
I see why they're talking about it with the World Series, but the playoffs, that's out of hand.
It's like training camp, Ira. We got to draw lines in the sand. So we got a couple other Bucks things to get to. But should we get to those first, or should we get to you and your incident?
You should get to me first.
All right. So,
because you'll use my story as a segue to something that you're going to ask.
As regular listeners of the podcast know, Ira was going this past weekend to the Tampa Theater to watch the movie Moulin Rouge.
Really?
And
well, because of the professor.
And
a cinematic professor was going to be speaking after answering some questions.
A film historian.
You know, that kind of thing. And Iris saw this advertisement and saw that that guy is talking.
Yeah, he's written 15 film books.
He was my college professor 50 years ago, and we had a little argument. I'm going to go talk to him. So, Ira, what the hell happened? And if you leave out the good part, I'm going to jump in.
Well, I grabbed my wife. I said, we're going to Moulin Rouge. Oh, I didn't like it the first time. We saw it 20 years ago when it came out.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Tampa theater. It's a grand old theater.
Suck it up.
Franklin Street, suck it up. And then I said, my professor's going to be there. So we show up. The movie's supposed to start at 3. We show up at 2:30. I find some people that are running the theater over there. Hey, the guy's going to do a Q&A at the end of the film. I said, the guy's name's Foster Hirsch. I said, has Mr. Hirsch shown up yet? No, he's not here yet. Okay. So I'm standing in the back of the theater because I want to see him when he's coming in. While I'm standing in the back of the theater,
wait a minute. What made you think you'd recognize him 50 years later?
Because I saw the picture that went with the advertisement. All right. And he hasn't changed much. He's 81. So I situate my wife in the back row, give her a bottle of water and some and a box of Raisinets. And so she's happy. Now I'm in the back of the theater. Now I'm not making this up. While I'm waiting for Professor Hirsch to come in, some guy comes up to me. And he goes, I heard the podcast, and I heard that you were going to be here today, and I just wanted to meet you because I love Joe Buck's fan, and I love the podcast.
The professor said this?
No, this kid comes out of the audience.
How old? We need demographics.
I'm thinking 25, 30.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And talking up. It didn't say anything about you, DeKemper. Didn't mention your
name.
That's
good.
But said, love the podcast, and I heard that you were going to be here, you know, because you said it last week that you were coming to Tampa Theater. So anyway, now I move to the front of the theater.
This is a great story.
Where you buy your tickets. Because I don't want to miss this guy, and there's an upstairs balcony. So I'm figuring he might go right up there, and I'm going to miss him. And I want to see him. I want to confront him. So
you want to bum rush him?
At 10 to 3, in he comes. And he's got some guy with him, his friend. And I go, Professor Hirsch? Yeah? He didn't know if I was going to shoot him, do what I want to him. I pull him aside, and I go, I was a student of yours. In 1974, Brooklyn College, History of Film. You showed me all these foreign films and Birth of a Nation and all of this. And he goes, what's your name? I said, Ira Kaufman. I said, I'm a sports writer here in Tampa. I'm fairly well known. I work for Joe Buck's fan now. Never heard of you. Never heard of you. That's his opening
what
line.
A slam.
What a slam. So
already I hate him.
So he didn't remember me from the class. I go, now, wait a minute. You might remember this. First assignment of the class was, you said, go out and see a modern movie, 1973, 74, and write up a movie review. Write it up. So I did. I was 19 years old. I see this movie, maybe Greenwich Village or something. It's called Mean Streets, the first collaboration between Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro, the very first one. I think they've made 10 films together. I said, nobody had ever heard of De Niro. Nobody had ever heard of Scorsese at that point. He goes, yeah. I said, well, I wrote up this paper, and I called it a landmark film that is going to be remembered for generations to come. His directorial style is different. The whole movie's different. Unique. And I handed it in to you. And 3 days later was the next class, and I got my paper back, and it said B+. And the comment on the top said, well written, Ira. But I couldn't disagree with you more about your premise. This movie's totally overrated. And I never forgot. I should have saved it, Lee.
Yeah.
But I threw it out, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me, and he's waiting for the punchline to come. And I delivered it. And I said, you've written 15 books about films. But I was right, and you were wrong on Mean Streets. And he looks at me, and he goes, I still think it's overrated.
I gotta give him credit there.
Change his mind. Yeah. Then we watched the movie, which, you know, it wasn't bad. It's a lavish music. Nicole Kidman, Lee. Can't go too wrong with you know, with party dresses or whatever. Ewan McGregor, I think. He's a pretty big actor. He was the male lead. Anyway, after the thing, he's doing the Q&A. I thought he might mention my name in front of the Tampa audience.
No.
I was accosted by this former student. But he didn't. But afterwards, he posed for a picture with me, and it was very pleasant. I said, when are you going back to New York? Tomorrow? He goes, no, we're going to Mount Dora. We're going to Cedar Key.
Mount Dora?
Yeah, he's going all over
Florida. Was he in the Air Force?
And by the way, he said on the stage, and I think he really meant it. He goes, this is the most beautiful movie house in America.
Really?
Oh, it's
that
spectacular.
Nice?
It's spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah. It's spectacular. Yeah. The Bucks should hold their draft there, Lee, to get you in there. That's the only way you're ever getting into that theater.
Probably.
All right, Ira, look, as we this podcast is airing, it's hitting the streets on July 4th, so I'll let you give a holiday wish to everybody, but the best part of your story, the best part, was the fact that you said a 25-year-old guy came out of the audience to say that he listened to the podcast and was looking for you, and I'll tell you why. Now, people come up to you all the time, love the podcast. I get it. But we recently had a review on the podcast I have to acknowledge this because I don't know if it's real or not. Sometimes we get some wise guy reviews, some phony stuff, but I have
put their name on it.
I have a feeling it's real, and I'm just going to read it because I was speechless.
When did this show up?
And now you'll understand why I was glad that a young person came to you on the theater. So I'll read the review. It's titled "Happy Fan of Your Pod."
What's the date on it, Stevie?
June 29th. Love the podcast. First heard Ira on Mad Dog. Also love Stephen Lee. I'm an 88-year-old rabid Patriots fan and could have been one of those 80 for Brady ladies. Follow the Bucks now, too. Keep up the good work. Sheila from Virginia.
You got a phone number?
Yeah, I was going to say, Ira's all interested here. Ira's ears are perked up.
If Sheila's a real person, thank you very much.
That sounds real. That sounds real.
It sure does sound real, but I've gotten some phony ones, too. But
I'm appealing to the 80-year-old. Now I got the 25-year-old kid.
Yeah, you're hitting all the demographics.
Yeah, there you go.
It's unbelievable. Final thought, Lee?
My final thought is, for those two individuals, the 25-year-old who greeted Ira, an 88-year-old alleged Patriots fan, thank you and thank everyone for listening. We always like to hear back from fans. Usually mine is, you dumb SOB, blah, blah, blah. But thank you for listening.
And we're on the Buck Beat 52 weeks a year.
And Sheila's a Bucks fan, too. She just said she's a rabid Pats fan. But
My job on Independence Day? Protect Cosmo.
I was going to ask you about that, Cosmo.
He doesn't like those fireworks.
A lot of dogs don't.
He doesn't like it. We wrap him in a vest.
Comfort vest.
Terry's got a vest for me, too, because I don't like
it. Is it a comfort vest, seriously?
Yeah, comfort vest.
Yeah?
Yeah. What, is it like a big pillow or something for him?
Does it smell like a beautiful female lassie or something?
And then it goes right in the wash after that.
Now, I love fireworks. I hate firecrackers. Those freaking things. But fireworks are cool. Even at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday night.
Bill Curry Ford. Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Fantastic. You can shop online. Florida's Elite Restoration. There is no doubt that they are open 24/7. And if you have a disaster, if you have family coming over and you move some stuff and you find mold, call them up. Call them up. It's the smart thing to do. Get your free evaluation.
Didn't I tell you, Steve? Didn't I tell you a story when I was growing up in Brooklyn?
The ash cans and
the
cherry bombs.
Yeah, guy across the street, the cherry bombs and the ash. I told you the guy's name, though. When as soon as I said the name, you started laughing. Joey Lobianco.
Yeah,
Joey Lobianco.
Your go-to food on the 4th, Ira? Must have?
Patriotic grilling hot dogs and hamburgers. Lee expects you about 7:15.